We're not experts on a lot, but we're experts on our personal experience. What is my listener? They don't want to hear me, but they want to hear the other person. I try to focus more on the guest because people can hear when you're inauthentic. So I think the more authentic you are, just be yourself and people will listen.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams, and I'm with Colleen Rosenblum, who is the podcast co-host, one of the co-hosts, there's two, at Hot Flashes and Cool Topics Talk. And as this is mainly for women in their 40s or 50s who want to go through and fix a lot of problems. And I was just searching just before we started recording some of these most recent episodes that dropped, including the one that dropped today. And this is some good stuff. Like this, well, there is tons of valuable information for your perfect avatar. Now, to the listener, you don't need to worry about Colleen's bio. If you want that bio, scroll down right now. It's already in the show notes. Also, any link, so her website, her podcast link, those are in the show notes. So you could just scroll right down and click on any of those links, go straight over to her podcast. And if you do leave her an honest written review, let her know you heard from us here. All right, Colleen, I want to go way back to a little over two-ish years ago. You first started a podcast and then launched in September of 2019. And I'm curious, first and foremost, how long had you been like known that you would like to have a podcast before that launch date in September of 19?
Well, thank you for having me on, Adam. And honestly, it was not very long for us. My co-host and I had a friend of ours who was doing a podcast on a totally different topic. And we decided that there was not really a voice out there for women over 50 who were living their best lives. And we had questions without answers. So we were going to find those answers. But to be honest with you, my background is being an attorney and a Pilates instructor. So even though I have a degree in communications from college way back when, I did not know the first thing about how to start a podcast. But the beauty is you can learn anything at any age. So I attribute a lot of YouTube videos to learning how to do it because they're out there. Don't be afraid to look at YouTube for instruction. We made the basic mistakes. I think it took us like 8 hours to do our promo because we didn't like the sound or we used GarageBand. So we had to learn how to use GarageBand. We had to learn about the audio. We didn't know which microphones were the best. So I think we have like six of them laying in a closet somewhere because we went through them all. And it's just trial and error. But I don't think the overthinking part can paralyze you. It's someone said to me once and it sticks to me, it's better to be present than perfect. Do it. Become available. Just jump in. And I always say, I don't like listening to the first five or six podcasts of ours because they are god awful. So to the listeners, you're going to cringe when you listen to the first couple podcasts. That's normal, but you get better as you go. Just get in the game, go for it, and learn as you go.
I really love this part where you're saying it's better to be present than perfect. I've heard done is better than perfect, but I like the way you say it quite a lot better because it really helps me think with my own podcast. It's better to have it out there published, present, than just waiting and not having anything because we're so tied to having it perfect. And it's interesting that for you being a highly educated person, like gone through and got your law degree and everything like that, that you were able to just like dive in, because I think some people, especially when we get extremely smart and educated, we're like wanting so hard to be exactly right and we can't make any mistake. So I'm curious, with your experience, what made you be able to feel comfortable or confident in putting out that first and second and third episode, even when you thought maybe it could be even better? Like, what was going through your mind? What allowed you to do that? And how can that maybe help a listener who's going to start their podcast?
That's a really good question, because I'm a recovering perfectionist. So it was really hard. It was like, I couldn't really listen to the first couple because I knew I would say, oh, my voice that had too many ums. Why didn't I do this? What? And even now I edit the podcast and I spend hours because I'm a recovering perfectionist. But the thing is, if you're not out there doing it, you're not going to get any feedback. You're not going to get better. So I think having that legal background and the Pilates background, I was like, I want my voice to be heard. I have something to say. And that's what the main thing is. Every person has something to say. It's unique. It's different. But they can't hear you if you're not out there saying it. So you could sit in your room and retape and retape and retape, but the only person that's doing anything is you. You're not getting the feedback from other people listening to your show. You're not getting better each time you do it. And trust me, you do get better. It just takes practice. And you're not going to get that practice unless you're in the game. You got to just press record, honestly. It's a lot harder to sit there and think about it than it is to just press the record button.
Yeah. And I have some clients, they're launching a podcast right now, both doctors, and they're launching something. It's called Unlocking College Life. And hopefully it'll be launched soon after you hear this. But in any way, they want it to be really perfect. And the interesting thing is the times, just like you said, Colleen, the times that they get to the next level, which there's so many levels, especially in the beginning, but the times that help them to get to the next level are the times that they actually record an episode. It's right. Not the times that they just think about an episode or theoretically decide on what an episode could be or simply just outline the episode, but they have been learning and growing the fastest because they are in the trenches, recording multiple episodes currently every single week. They're recording tons of episodes. We might not even use all of them, but it seems that that's where they're learning the most is by doing. And you mentioned practice is how you're going to get better. I don't remember if I'm saying it correctly, but you basically said you have to be actually doing the thing, not just thinking about the thing or talking about the thing. You got to be in it in order to kind of grow to that next level. Yes. Is that how you feel?
It's kind of like exposure therapy. You just have to expose yourself to it. And there are times where I'll come off of an interview. We've only been doing this 2 years, and I'll come off an interview and said, I was off on that one. Like, I didn't ask the questions I should have, or I forgot to do this, or I talked too much or whatever. And it's okay to kind of Monday morning quarterback, but if you're not in the game, you can't do that. Because of my legal background, I won't walk into an interview without researching it completely. That's just part of what I do. But that doesn't mean I don't forget very simple things or pronounce someone's name wrong or screw up the name of their show or their book or have a brain fog moment. It's going to happen, but maybe because I know it's not the end of the world, I'm a little more gentle on myself. But maybe if I was 20 doing this, I wouldn't feel the same way. I don't know. Maybe it's an age thing. But when we put our show out, having really no idea what kind of response we were from it, we got such a good response and it happened so quickly that we had to step up and just start, okay, we have to be consistent. We have to put out quality work. Like, focus on the quality and the consistency, not so much on that outside noise of what people think or second guessing yourself. Focus on what you have control over, which is the quality of your show, the consistency of your show, and your guests.
I enjoy how you say focus on quality and consistency and not second guessing yourself. I'm looking at this right now and thinking about, like, sometimes it's helped me personally to, like, when I want to impress people, when I'm thinking about, like, me and impressing people or whatever, it's really hard to put out good quality, consistent content. It's really hard not to second guess myself because I'm focused so much on making a good impression that I forget about, like, the real mark. And I've learned, because I'm a shy person, like, I don't know if that Is that you too, Colleen, or?
I used to think yes. I've kind of got more comfortable, but put me on a stage and I'll cry probably. But there is a comfort to being on audio, and we do put our shows up on YouTube. But there is a comfort being behind this microphone. I think, like, when we interview a lot of celebrities. If we were in the same room with them, I probably would not be able to think straight. But because we're kind of have the comfort of a Zoom lens, I'm not as scared or insecure maybe as I would be.
Yeah. But I just notice when I'm trying to do content myself, and if I'm thinking about me and how I look and how I'm coming across, like, personally, and being almost more self-conscious, I feel like I put out bad content. I feel like I don't do a good job translating things. I feel like I don't focus on the right parts. But when I kind of try to get away from me being, when I was in junior high, I was always like afraid to talk in front of people. And that stays with me for a long time, right? So now people are like, well, if you're shy, how do you get over it? The main focus for me is, how is this valuable? What does my listener need? And I'm thinking about that. I might not be the most eloquent. I might not say it the right way or the best way, but if I can deliver with my true heart of what I think that the listener truly needs, it seems to allow me to stop second guessing myself and criticizing myself. And it allows me to do better quality and consistency when I'm focused on that right thing. Is that part of what you guys do? Have you heard of that before? Have you tried that before? I'm just curious if that's just me.
I think what I'm hearing is that you're just your authentic self. And that's what we try to do as well, because we always say we're not experts on a lot, but we're experts on our own personal experience. So when we're interviewing, if it's a doctor or it's an expert or something on menopause or something like that, or career changes, I try to say, okay, what does my listener? They don't want to hear me. Like, I'm asking the questions as if I was them, but they want to hear the other person. So I try to focus more on the guest than necessarily if my voice sounds creaky or if my hair's done or whatever. Just because people can hear when you're inauthentic. They can hear it.
Yeah.
They don't need to see it. They can hear it. So I think the more authentic you are, just be yourself. And if it resonates, people will listen.
Yeah. And I think you'll really truly resonate with the right people if you just like truly let your light shine. I have so many questions for you. I don't even think I'm going to be able to ask half of them, to be honest. But you mentioned earlier that you talked about like cringing, I think you said, and I hope I'm using the right term and not putting words in your mouth, but it felt like to me that you, in the beginning, noticed that you were using some filler words that you didn't like or whatever. And going back to those was like surprising, but you edit your own, if I'm not mistaken. It sounds like you're the producer of your podcast. And I'm curious, like, two things. Let's start with this shorter question. Do you recommend the listener, when they start their podcast, that they edit their own podcast or offload it and just focus on just the content and let somebody else take care of the rest? And with the part of that question is, why do you recommend that way or the other way?
I definitely think it's important that you know how to edit. Even if you end up outsourcing it, it's really important for you to understand every aspect of your show. And part of that is the editing process. I did try outsourcing editing for a while, but there was content that I wanted edited that they did not know that I may not have wanted in there or that I did want in there. They are focused on the ums and the ahs, and I'm not as focused on those as I used to be. It was kind of in the beginning, every ah, every every yeah. And now it's just part of your language. It's going to come out. I mean, if it's over and over again, I'll edit it. But the biggest problem I had with outsourcing was they didn't know what was in my head. They didn't have a vision for that episode. I was the only one who knew how I wanted it to sound. And that's where the perfectionist comes in for me. If you have, and also most podcasts are not making money in the very beginning. So if you can outsource and pay for it, that's great. But not everybody can do that. It's just number one, it's really important to understand the process, because I think you have to have, in order to do a good podcast, you have to understand all the aspects of it. And two, if you know what you want to say, sometimes it doesn't come out when someone else is editing your podcast. So that's kind of why I do it. My partner does all the video. So we will interview via Zoom. She does all the editing on video because I do think it can be overwhelming. I'm a workaholic. I'm putting 40, 50 hours a week into this podcast because I love it. It's my passion. If you're doing this as a hobby or if you're doing this as a kind of as a side thing, it's much harder to put that time in. You don't have the luxury of that. So I understand why some people have to outsource because they simply don't have the time not to.
Yeah. I have a slightly different opinion for most people. I say just offload the editing and post-production and focus on what you do right. But there are definitely benefits to editing your own. For example, I think I edited a little over 300 of my first episodes for our first podcast. And I always wanted to get it off, but it was kind of like with you. I was a little bit of a control freak. I kind of wanted it exactly how I wanted it. I knew how I wanted it. And it just came naturally to me, like, to put out the content exactly as it was in my head. And it was hard. It was really hard to offload it. But when I finally offloaded it, it helped a lot. But going back to the part where I said there are probably some benefits that I saw by editing my first 300-ish episodes, which I don't recommend to most people. Speaking of this is where I was about to take it. I noticed and cringed at all of these filler words where I would start a new sentence with, okay, so, and the next sentence would be, okay, so, and every single sentence would always be, okay, so, and same thing with some of the filler words using lots of ums or uhs. As I was trying to eloquently express myself, I noticed that I would continue to have these filler words like, you know, okay, so, and And I started to realize, man, I've got to get rid of some of this in my language. And one thing that I learned how to do, and it was only because I got so stressed and tired of taking out these filler words, I finally learned to just have silence. When I'm thinking, most of the time, I'll just have silence in between one thought and the other thought, rather than having the word show up there. And I think that helps a lot when we're editing the podcast with ums and uhs. I don't know if you've noticed this, Colleen. It depends on the level of the word for it, of perfectionism that you're really looking for. Sometimes when people take an out, the breath that you hear, you can actually hear a breath and they will cut it out. So you hear this random piece of the breath come through. And it's like, I would rather just be silent there instead of have to worry about all of these other things. Are there any other, like, besides with me and getting rid of some of my filler words, which ended up making me better on stage because it was live, what other pieces do you think you truly gain as a podcaster by editing your own podcast versus just letting someone else do it?
Well, sometimes you'll bank a bunch of podcasts episodes. So by editing, you kind of get reintroduced to the episode. You can't always remember every interview. And by listening to it again, it helps me because I do a lot of the social media and take quotes out. And if I'm doing a headliner, I'll learn where the quotes are. So it's kind of re-educating myself. Another thing that I learned, which was really helpful, was to mute myself when someone else is talking, because I'll often go, great. Oh, and I'm like, no one wants to hear that. So I'll actually mute myself if someone's telling a longer story, because I'll be nodding and yesing, but they won't hear it. So that's also a helpful hint that I learned as I was going. But it definitely helps you kind of hear the episode again. It helps you with, like you said, certain things that you say you're not going to say in the next episode, because you realize one of the things that we're always talking about, my co-host and I, is that she has 12 siblings and she loves to tell stories about her siblings. And there are a lot of stories. And I'm always like, our listeners don't necessarily want to hear about the two of us all the time. They want to hear about the person on the show. So by going back, I can kind of take some of that stuff out. Or if I start going on a tangent about something, we'll take that out. And so that kind of helps also, I think, when you're doing the podcast editing.
That's really, really good feedback. I learned from editing my own that I asked, and I probably still do, really long questions. So I want to ask you a question, but instead of like just asking the question, I will preface it two or three or four times, and then I will ask it, and then we'll ask it a different way, and then we'll ask it a third way. And it's really has been frustrating to notice, man, just get to the freaking question already, Adam. Just ask the question. What are you trying to do? So I did definitely cut out a lot, and it did help because I started writing the question like down a little bit ahead of time. And it allows me to be better now at asking questions, but I had to get driven crazy by it first. Right. So that was really good. And you mentioned also cheerleading. Well, I call it cheerleading. I say,
don't be a cheerleader.
Don't be a cheerleader. Now, if you're a cheerleader, there is no offense to cheerleading. I, in fact, took cheerleading when I was younger and I was a bass. And so that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about what Colleen mentioned as her guest is talking and she's like, yeah, yeah, right. I'm with you. That is actually more annoying, no offense, to your listener to hear you interrupting your guest over and over and over. And we are taught, it's so funny, we are taught when we're young to nod our heads when someone's talking and add encouragement or to cheerlead them so that they know we're listening to them, which let's say is correct and the right thing to do when you're one-on-one. Yes, go ahead. But when you're on the podcast, it's the time to just get out of the way in the middle of the sentence. We don't need to be saying, right? Over and over and over. So very, very, very good stuff. Don't be a cheerleader. And you mentioned headliner.
Yes.
I will make sure that we leave a link to headliner, because it has been extremely helpful. My team edits dozens and dozens and dozens of other people's podcasts. And one of the tools we use to make it easier on us to create promotional material is Headliner. So Colleen, I want you to share, since you personally use Headliner, how you use it, what you use it for, and we'll make sure there's a link in the show notes.
Sure. So Headliner is a really great tool to use to promote your podcast. What I noticed when I was doing episodes and promoting them on social media was that people responded more when there was an audio attached. So if I just put the promotion of this episode, like this week we have Anxiety Sisters. If I just did Anxiety Sisters picture and said new episode up, I would get less engagement than if I put the same picture, but I added the headliner. What the headliner app does is you can take about a minute. I like to use less than a minute of content. You can just do several minutes if you like, but for promotional materials, I use less than a minute of something that'll grab the listener. So something in the episode that you feel is really important and kind of will leave them hanging so they want to hear what the episode is about. And it's just, like I said, I do about a minute of it and it gives you a chance to kind of catch listeners because people will listen to it and be like, oh, I want to hear that episode. That sounds really good. And that's what we use Headliner for.
I have three more questions for you. One is going to be about the benefits that you've seen either in your business or however by having a podcast. The next one, and I'll ask these in order here in a moment. The next one is going to be getting into things that you did wrong and might want to do a little bit differently. So any challenges, and we could pour into the listener. And the last one is going to be about more tools that you use that might be included on top of just Headliner that you've already mentioned. So we are going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the benefits that Colleen's seen with having a podcast, the challenges and how she overcame them, and then more tools for you to be able to get better at podcasting. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links, just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. if it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. As promised, I've got Colleen Rosenbloom on the podcast, and she is one of the co-hosts of Hot Flashes and Cool Topics for 50s plus women, and a lot of really good stuff. We're ending with these three final questions: the benefits she's had, the challenges that she's overcome and how she overcame them, and then more tools that can help you to be a better podcaster. Colleen, how has podcasting improved your business or life?
It's improved it in a lot of ways. We started this podcast without a per se business model of where we wanted to take it, but so many opportunities have opened up with us, and we are partnering with some amazing companies and products. Who would have ever thought I would be a brand ambassador for like Laura Geller and things like that? So opportunities have been really tremendous, and feedback from listeners that say, I feel less alone. Like, you see me, you hear me. That to me means more than anything else. But we have definitely, like I said, started partnerships, affiliate programs. We have done brand ambassadorships. So in that respect, and we're starting to partner with some online platforms and things like that. We do promotional, like commercials and things like that. So we have financed the podcast through that, and we're growing quickly from that. And just always be open to any possibilities, because there are things you don't even think of. We did not really go open this podcast to per se become teach people how to do a podcast or write a book, which a lot of people will do. They'll use their podcast to promote their business. We kind of did it the opposite way. We started the podcast, and now it's created a business.
Awesome. Now, how about some challenges? It wasn't all perfect. It wasn't all easy. What did you learn along the way that you can pass on to our listener today?
Well, as I said before, I'm a recovering perfectionist, so I wanted to do everything, and you can't. You can't do everything well. You can do everything, but you'll either drive yourself crazy or you'll stop. You'll burn out after. I think the average is like 7 episodes that podcasts burn out. So if you can, like, we outsource our show notes and the website and things like that, things that you can outsource, do so for your own sanity. We did not do that in the beginning, and I regret that because I lost a lot of brain cells from all that. But also, just we would time it. Sometimes we did way too long podcasts, and we ended up having to edit a lot more because we try to keep them to 40 to 50 minutes, and we didn't realize that, oh, split them. Make them into 2 episodes, and people will come back to listen to the second half. Okay, common sense. We didn't know it. There's just very simple things that you learn as you go, and ask people questions. Do you think that you can promote our show when you have an expert on? Don't be afraid to ask them, can you promote the show? We were like, oh, we don't want to upset anybody. Don't be afraid to ask. The worst thing someone can say is no. And by then you've already taped the episode, so you can use it or not. That's totally up to you. You know what I mean? Don't be afraid to kind of put yourself out there, because it's still your listeners. You get loyal listeners. We have some really amazing loyal listeners who tell 2 friends and so on and so on. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. Your show's not going to collapse. But we definitely learned that, and be patient with yourself. Something that someone else may learn in an hour may take you 2 days to figure out, and that's okay. You could practice your Zoom interviews. My co-host and I would practice just Zooming each other in the beginning to learn. And so I would say, you know, just, you're going to make mistakes. You are. Accept that. It's not going to be perfect.
Thank you for going into that. I resonate personally with a lot of what you just shared. And I'll definitely be sharing a few tips or thoughts when we're closing off the episode. I want to get into the tools that we mentioned. So what I'm really curious of, from what you've learned over this course of podcasting, is there any like standard operating procedure, SOPs, templates that you've created that have helped you, or other tools like Headliner that you use to create any of the promotional materials that you could share with the listener?
Sure. So we do a lot of interviewing from not local sources. So Zoom is a must for us. We had to really become, when you have the Zoom for free, it's like 40 minutes. So you really have to be cognizant of taping. That didn't work for us, so we had to purchase the plan. ATR 2100 mics work really well for us. We like that. Also, Canva is one of my best friends. I love Canva. I didn't even realize you could do interactive on there and 3D. Learn Canva, play with it, do stuff with it. I would say those are probably, I actually use my laptop to do interviews. And then all my computer work is done on my bigger computer. My laptop is just easier to take for interviews. And have it, as far as your standard operating procedure here, I'm in a room that's enclosed. I don't have high ceilings. I have a floodlight so that it looks, I don't look dead. Things like that are just, you learn as you go that you need certain things.
How about, out of curiosity, how do you book your podcasts?
We use Calendly.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to put that one in there too. Calendly. So,
and it's been great. It's been great. We can actually schedule the days we're available. Don't make it every day. Set certain days that you're going to tape. It makes your life a lot easier. And then we book those out on Calendly and we just send the link. But I also know some people like dates and times. So you may have a guest who would prefer you to send them dates and times. So be flexible with that.
Okay. So out of curiosity, with Calendly, do you have it connected to your Zoom account and your calendar? So it's completely integrated when somebody books that it creates a brand new, like unique Zoom link?
Yes. And that makes life a lot easier. Otherwise, I would be double scheduling. I'd be scheduling on Zoom. I'd be scheduling on Calendly. But no, it sends it all out. So that's perfect.
Awesome. I've learned a ton. In a moment, I'm going to let you share your last piece of advice, your parting advice. But I do want to share a couple of the takeaways that I've already had. You were able to, even though you're a perfectionist, you were able to get past the overthinking part and just go ahead and start because you knew that done was better than perfect, for lack of a better word. It's better to be present than perfect. We also talked a little bit about filler words, editing your own podcast, using some tools like Headliner, Zoom, Canva, and Calendly. We talked about your ATR 2100X mics that you can easily get on Amazon. And if anybody wants to go to, it's called growyourshow.com/PDF. I don't know why it was so hard. growyourshow.com/PDF. The ATR 2100X mics are some of my best suggestions. So we've created a whole PDF with a bunch of really cool stuff. I'm glad Colleen uses those mics because they're great and fairly affordable too for such a great quality. A lot of good stuff. So ATR 2100, Zoom, you mentioned that you could get Zoom for free if you could keep your episodes fairly short. So if you're going to just do one Zoom thing and it's going to be 40 minutes or less, you don't have to pay for Zoom. If you're going to go longer than that or have tons of different integrations that you need with Zoom, memory and stuff like that, you can pay a little bit and you get an even better upgrade. Couple other things here that I kind of got. Don't be a cheerleader. I love that. Don't be a cheerleader. You don't have to do the same thing that you're doing over here when you're on intimate setting one-on-one as you're encouraging someone to keep talking. You don't have to do that on your episodes. And Colleen mentioned she just mutes herself. She just mutes herself so that even though she might naturally do that, it's not getting picked up, recorded, and going into the ears of the listener. You also mentioned that you get better value and traction out of putting a short audiogram that you do on Headliner versus a still image, just a picture of something. And I think that's a huge takeaway for the rest of us when we're thinking about promoting our podcast and growing our podcast, to use that trick that you've learned already and to be able to solve that. And then finally, some of the benefits you got from having a podcast were greater opportunities, being a brand ambassador and having affiliate programs. And finally, when you get feedback from your listener, it fills you. It sounds like it really fills you to hear from your listener. And I think those benefits are huge for starting a podcast, especially because you're doing it a slightly different way than like with me, where I want to be able to serve more clients doing the podcasting, and you, where it's like, you're putting out the content and then you're partnering with these other people to be able to still monetize the show. Awesome stuff. Challenges. You learned that if you have a long episode, you can easily split it and you have twice as many episodes the person can download. And so they're coming back. And another thing is, if you want people to share it, you've got to ask them, what do you think about promoting the show? Do you mind sharing this? Can you do this? And it's like so scary to ask those questions. We feel like we're asking someone to marry us. We're like on our knee at the football stadium when we're just saying, could you share the episode? It gets scary and we get choked up, and you've learned that it's okay to just ask. What's the worst that can happen? And then you shared some more tools, which we've already mentioned: Calendly, Canva, Zoom, and Headliner, a bunch of different tools that we can use. And all those links are in the show notes. Colleen, it's your time to share what is the last parting advice that you want to pour into a brand new podcaster.
Try to remember why you started the podcast, what the story is that you want to tell, because your story is not my story, which is not the listener's story. So it's really easy to get off track when you're doing a podcast. You know, you have to be flexible and see where the stories take you, but you started this for a reason. And it's really important to keep that reason in mind as you go along, because getting distracted is something that you end up maybe losing the quality a little bit of your show and the content. So stay focused on why you started it to begin with.
A lot of good info. Colleen, thank you. I want to say, if you're listening to this episode and you like Colleen, you want to support her, you want to see what's going on over at Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, that link's in the show notes. Her website's in the show notes, and her contact info is in the show notes. So just scroll down, get her bio, her contact, and you'll be good to go. So thank you so much for jumping on the show. I'm going to let you go. So we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are looking to upgrade like your podcast equipment or just get your very first affordable microphone, then go to growyourshow.com/PDF. That link's in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. On that PDF is 100% equipment for your podcasting studio that I've personally vetted. My team has vetted this. We know that it works. We know that it's affordable, and we don't want you paying more for your podcasting equipment. So again, if you're looking to upgrade your equipment or get your very first inexpensive microphone that works great, that's where you go. And then number two is, got a free course, A to Z, on everything you need to know about podcasting. And you don't have to go anywhere but the podcast in order to access it. You don't have to even give me an email address to access it. It is just the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So what you'll do is you'll scroll down a bit, you'll click on all episodes, and scroll down because we're hundreds of episodes in, and you'll see that episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a free course from A to Z on launching a top podcast. Take advantage of those two things. I'll see you on the next episode.